Hello, story lovers, and welcome to We Are All Made of Stories. I'm Ellie Royce, kidlit author, story catcher, and creative human. Stories weave us into families, communities, and culture. In the podcast, I'm going to explore all kinds of ways that stories help us navigate this twisty, turny thing called life. I'll be sharing other people's stories in What's Your Story? I'll be having a never-ending story with Zoe Collins. And I'll be exploring how the stories we tell ourselves affect our lives a lot more than we think. I'm coming to you from beautiful Gumbanya country. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the country and pay my respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. And that's about it for my hello. I'll see you in there, okay? Hello, story lovers. Thanks for popping back in. In this episode, I'm continuing my never-ending story with Zoe Collins. Zoe was my very first guest in episode one, and we found that we had such a lot to say that we decided we'd get back together to continue the story and talk about what's on our minds. It's basically a conversation between two creative friends about whatever happens to be uppermost in our minds at the moment. And sharing stories is a big part of what this podcast is all about. So without further ado, let's get talking. Welcome and thank you, Zoe Collins, for coming back on the pod with me.
Welcome.
So tell me, Zoe, what's on your mind on the 19th of January 2021?
Ellie Royce. You know what? I think it's because we've been on holidays and spent so much time together, I'm thinking about parenting, creativity, how to balance, how to prioritize. I said something offhand this morning in my Pilates group where it was one of those moments where I said it and thought, oh, that's actually something I've got to pay attention to. So I said that I have no trouble finding time to be creative. But I have a really hard time with my responsibilities. So the house is always in a mess, which, you know, that's not entirely my responsibility, but I find it really hard to leave the house calmly and on time because I'm often juggling the boys, me, expectations of a tidy house, and then I'm also happen to be cutting out some eyes and gluing them in my journal. Here are the eyes, and I'm obsessed at the moment. I'm obsessed.
Are they the ones with the blueberry paint and beetroot?
Yeah. So I made ink yesterday, and I just had to do it at that particular point in time. Whereas, you know, I had so many other things that I should have done. Like I should have probably, I don't know, there's so many things. The dog needed a wash. I needed to plant some plants in the garden. I needed to get dinner ready. I could have prepared my child perfectly for his day today. He's going to some robotics course and he's only little, but as we were walking there, I thought, oh my God, I think I forgot something crucial. And luckily when we got there, I said to the woman, was I meant to pack anything? And she said, no. And I went, oh, thank God. And I kind of thought to myself at that point, why do I find it so hard to prepare myself in advance? So this is what's on my mind. It's kind of like,
yeah.
I think I've got the creativity stuff going pretty well. I just don't have the...
The creativity is nailed. It's just real life. Well, actually, yeah. I can remember that. And I don't have kids at home anymore, but my husband knows when I'm thinking about creative stuff because I guess with what I'm doing, I probably think about it more than, you know, I'm not cutting things out and, you know, I'm not that kind of an artist.
But I do stand still with my mouth open, staring vacantly off into space, just as we're about to leave and do the weekly shopping. And we'll then get to the shopping centre and he'll say, where's the list? Because I do make lists. I do. I have the best intentions. And I think, the list. It's on the table. But isn't it the great saying that if you make the list, then you remember everything that was on the list? Well, maybe that works for other people, but it doesn't work for me.
Oh, look, I've given up on lists.
Yeah, so I understand what you're saying, exactly. And, you know, I'd love to tell you that it gets easier, but I'm a bit older than you. It hasn't yet, so. I don't know what you do. You just bumble through life with a understanding family, I guess.
Yeah, because that mouth open gazing into space, that, constantly. And my husband, my poor husband, is the opposite. He can focus. When he's on, he's on. And he looks at me often. He goes, are you all right? I'll get really frustrated. I'll be like, yeah, why? And he's like, well, you kind of meant to be making that salad because that's what you said you were going to do. And you're kind of halfway through and you're all frittering over there. And I'm like, oh, shit. So, yeah, happens a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I was talking to my friend Marty Davies, who is also a creative person, actually yesterday about balance. She was telling me about the Disney movie Soul. Have you seen that? Yeah.
No, I haven't.
Oh, shout out. I haven't seen it either, but she says it's absolutely brilliant. So shout out to all creative people who want to get into the flow, that there is a Disney or Pixar movie called Soul. Everyone probably should have a look at that. So I'm going to have a look at it. I saw the trailer and even that nearly made me cry, so I wouldn't be a bit surprised. Yeah. A lot of things are making me cry at the moment, because one of the things that's on my mind is the fact that I'm going to be a grandma this year.
Really?
That's very exciting. Yes, Grelly. I think it's going to be Grelly, actually. I'll have to talk to my daughter about that. It's actually my oldest daughter's 31st birthday today. And one of the things that was on my mind is all about past and future all mixing up together, because when I was on my – I don't know, I've sort of got three things on my mind. I don't know if we'll get the chance to talk about them, but I've got the past and future. I've got the health of creatives, because I had a bit of a health issue come up over Christmas, and it's necessitated me getting off my – behind and getting out and walking and moving and doing all the things that I would rather be sitting at my computer writing stories, or, you know, I mean, I love gardening and all of that sort of stuff, and that's all moving and everything, but I really prefer to be sitting there staring into space, writing stories or letting stories come through. But I have been walking, I have been doing the right thing, and I'm going to start doing more stretching and things like that. And I thought I'd get the walking organised first and then build up.
Yep.
But it's
I've actually got health written down here too.
Yeah.
I hurt my arm, and it's entirely posture related. I just sat
straight up. She's sitting up straight, everyone that can't see.
Very straight. I look like a ballerina.
You do.
I hurt my arm and I can't draw with my right arm, which is I've been thinking, wow, like, I'm gonna have to really look after myself. And I go through this constantly, because I have had several things go wrong in my life. Nothing major, just, you know, you have operations and sore back and, you know, all this rubbish. And you're right, you have to get that balance in. Health is the most important thing, I think.
Yeah, it is. And, obviously with a new little person coming along, I thought, oh, my God, I'm not going to be able to run around after a kid. I'm too old and decrepit for that. So, So I've been taking on the health challenge this year. And while I was walking about past and future, while I was walking around my streets this morning, grumbling to myself, because I love walking on the beach, which is very close to me but doesn't quite fit in with my schedule for the day. So I walk around the streets, which, you know, I have no right to complain. I live in a beautiful place in the country. There's lots of trees and all that sort of stuff. But still, I was stumping around grumbling to myself about having to walk on the road and, you know, not being able to go to the beach. And then I listen to music and that sort of takes me away. And then by the time I've been walking for about 20 minutes, then I get into the zone and I start having creative thoughts, and that's all good. And then my head knows that, but my legs don't know. You know, they don't want to do it. Anyway, getting back to the point, I told you it was a chaotic patchwork quilt inside my head right now, always, actually. But I walked up this street that I haven't walked up for maybe, I don't know how many years it's been. We had two beautiful dogs. One of them was 17 and she went to God. We had to put her to sleep and went to doggy God, I should say. And probably Pan, went to Pan. Let's say went to Pan. I'm a religion sort of person. So she went when she was 17, and that was about 4 years ago, probably 3 or 4 years ago. And we have another dog. He's beautiful. I was thinking of this when you were telling me about your gorgeous dog, who has the same name as my other daughter's dog. Her dog's called Jamie as well.
Best name. Best dog.
Good name. And this dog that we've got now, he's about 12, but he's a big dog. He's a wolfhound cross something. And he's got dodgy knees. So he can't come on a walk with me anymore. And I always feel guilty about going out and walking and leaving him behind. And anyway, but we used to always walk. We've lived in this place where we live now for about 21 years or something. And I walked down this street and I swear to God, it was just full of ghosts of little white dogs running around. And young brown dogs, big dogs, and little girls laughing and running up and down the street. And I burst into tears. I just cried all the way home. I was walking home and I just cried all the way home. I thought, I'm not going down that street anymore. Because there were so many memories there that just caught me by surprise when I walked down the street. And then I thought, yeah, that was really weird. That was a weird experience.
You should walk down and write how you feel each time you walk down there.
Yeah, I thought that myself afterwards after I had my little tanty and thought, I'm never walking down that street again. And then I thought, well, that's probably why I should walk down that street every day, every day, and just integrate all those memories with my
feelings. Feelings.
Yeah.
Feelings are so hard. Myself.
Yeah, it is. Well, yeah, it is when it hits you, when it's a surprise. Yeah. Like, it's a surprise. It wouldn't have been if I was prepared for it, but it was just a last-minute thing. I thought, oh, I need another 5 minutes walk. I'll go down this street. I haven't been down there for a while. And as soon as I went there, my whole past was there in front of me.
Yeah, wow.
Interesting experience. No, it's all right. I was just going to say it was interesting because it was – so visceral and so visual as well. It took me by surprise.
Yeah. So do you think the feelings, like, were you feeling grief that of what's gone, or do you want to not talk about this?
No, it's fine. I'm okay now.
Yeah, good.
I'm not surprised anymore like I was this morning. No, I think it was, and I think I've been thinking, well, as I said, what's on my mind is the past and the future, and a lot of the things, the space of my life that I'm at right now is where there's a lot of endings. A lot of endings have happened. A phase of life has sort of finished, and a new phase is, well, I guess I'm a bit in limbo at the moment because the new phase has yet to begin and the old phase is sort of slowly coming to an end. Like when our lovely old dog isn't here anymore, we're planning to do travelling and things like that. But right now we're looking after the dog, you know, our whole lives revolve around pretty much looking after the dog. So, and, you know, in the family there's other endings sort of coming up, you know, people are getting older and all that sort of stuff. So, it is grief in one way, And I suppose it's more of a recognition, really, and an integration that you have to recognise and integrate when a phase is finished. Mm. And I probably haven't actually integrated that since my kids left home, probably, which has been, you know, about 10 or 15 years.
Right.
Been carrying on that long, maybe about 9 years, yeah. And I've been carrying on and sort of integrating it in little tiny little bite-sized pieces that I can cope with, but every now and again a big wave will catch me by surprise and I have to chow that down as well.
Yeah. It's again, we're back to the food thing. You have to eat your feelings.
Everything's about food with me, everything.
Same. Even the ink that I'm making, and I'm playing with it as we speak. I can't keep my hands still.
Well, that's good. Make the most of your time. If you can do more than one thing and do it well, then carry on. Or don't even do it well. Sure. Just do it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not sure I'm doing either well, but we'll see. Good enough is good enough.
So what else was on your mind? Because I think we had the same things and I can't remember what the other two things were.
Well, health was a big one, and looking after myself physically. Like, I've got the mental health thing going well. I'm definitely looking after myself. I have been for a long time now. But the physical stuff, I've never really loved organized exercise. Like,
no.
Oh, man, gyms, horrible. But I do like doing things. Like, I really love riding my bike. Not that I do that. But I have in the past enjoyed things that seem to have a purpose, like, you know, riding the bike.
Yeah.
You can go and do stuff. You can go and see people and go to the shops and whatever. Yeah. So hopefully that will come back into my life. I'm contemplating buying an e-bike.
Just
to get me, electronic
bike.
Electric, not electronic. Yeah. So we live in Brisbane and it's hilly. Like, there's just hills everywhere, and it's, you know, you can't really – I can definitely go for a normal bike ride, but I come back sweaty and it's an exercise thing. Whereas if I get an e-bike, this is my thinking, I'm trying to justify it, we could all ride to school, drop the kids off, do the groceries on the way home, and then the electric bit would help me get up the last, say, I think it's a 500-meter stretch. And it's this gentle incline, and then it becomes this kind of hideous, hideous hill that I can't get myself up unless I'm willing to, you know, kind of put in so much effort that I end up not being able to.
I'm totally with you on that. I was actually thinking a very similar thing. I saw something online called a baby maker. I think it was an electric bike. Don't ask me why it was called that. That wasn't the thing that caught my eye. But it was just, it was a bike that had all the electrical stuff was on the inside of the frame. It looked very lightweight. And I thought the same thing. I've got this bug about, I listen to a lot of podcasts, so I keep saying, oh, I heard this podcast, or I saw this online. Heard this podcast, and there was a lady on it who was talking about nutritional movement and talking about how when we were, you know, swinging from trees, hunting for food and things like that, we were doing all kinds of movement. Like, it wasn't like being in a gym where you're lifting a weight or on a treadmill or, you know, well, maybe they were walking a long way. But it was all the movement that you do when you're living your life.
Yep.
And reaching up. Like, that's why I always think about gardening, because you do all those things when you're gardening. So I like gardening. So that's lucky.
Yep.
But, yeah, and like biking to get somewhere, I have nothing against people who love biking, nothing at all. But to me, using it to get somewhere and then do something and then go home again seems to be just make more sense to my brain. My brain just works that way, you know. What for? Is what it was.
Although I don't mind a leisurely bike ride if the means is just to look around and have a lovely time.
Yeah.
But again, it's that whole scheduled exercise that just...
Yeah. So if it's all part of your day, then it makes more sense than putting time aside. And also, I suppose, somewhere in my head is the idea that if you work it into your day, then if you do want to sit down for a few hours and do some of your creative work, if that's what your creative work involves, then you don't have to feel guilty about it, or, you know, you've done your nutritious movement and done that after yourself in that way as well, maybe.
I like this idea. Maybe we're onto something. Fingers crossed.
Health. So yeah,
Yes, health. To
look after things. Hopefully, look after the old frame. Renovate it a bit. Get it a bit renovated for the next 20 years.
Yeah, that new baby that's coming. How exciting!
That is very exciting. Well, that's the future. I've got a new baby and a new book out this year, so that's very exciting. Ooh. And then the other thing I'm thinking about is creative business. That's on
me too.
As well. Yeah, well, you're already deeply involved in creative business, aren't you?
I don't know. What do you mean by that? Like, what's your definition of deeply involved?
Well, you do stuff, don't you?
I do a lot of stuff.
You make stuff.
I do a lot.
You make beautiful things. You make beautiful artwork, and you find the people who are appreciative of that, and you can sell it to them. I get frustrated
that I don't want, like, how do I put this? It's a lot. It's quite complicated, I think.
It's
the first thing is, most of the people that I sell to, I know in one form or another. Like, I know them either from online stuff or from school or friendship or family, and I've built and not in a conscious way, but I have relationships with these people and I feel like I know them, and I really get sick of hustling to people that I actually care about. You know what I mean? Like, I love it. I love that people who buy my stuff feel connected to me, and I love that's probably the cream, right? That's the best part of it. But I would like to actually make a living, and I can't make a living selling to people that I love or care about. It doesn't feel right to me. And, well, it's not that it doesn't feel right. It's just that I don't love that many people. So I'm never going to make a living out of the, you know, 150
selling to people that you love. Yeah. No,
yeah. I can't keep asking.
It's a big dichotomy, I think.
I can't keep asking people to spend money with me. Like, I have that problem too, where I am quite loyal to people who I employ. So, like, I love our plumber, and, you know, I love my Pilates instructor, and there's, you know, all these other people, but there's only so much money that I want to spend with each of them so that I can spend it with all of them. If you know what I mean. And I can't expect people every time I put a range of earrings out to buy one or two pairs of earrings. To me, that just seems a little bit ridiculous. So my frustration lies in, I guess, what most businesses' frustrations lie in, that you need more customers. And I need to somehow figure out how to, I don't know. It's a thing that's really plaguing me at the moment, because I feel like I've got, like, without sounding arrogant, I've got great stuff and I love doing it.
You do,
and
have
the
great
people
stuff.
Who know about it love it, but I don't know how to get more people to know about it.
Without
turning into like a business entrepreneur that I just not.
Yeah, the cookie cutter thing. I actually, here's another thing. I was listening to Marie Forleo the other day, again, another podcasty person that I was listening to.
She's very clever.
She said the same thing. She actually referred to cookie cutter business that has templates that says, you know, online they advertise and say you too can do this. The hard part is actually finding what you love to do as you say, and finding, because there will be people out there who love what you do and who want to be a part of that, but it's finding those people.
Yes.
Is the challenge, I guess.
Yeah.
And apart from, yeah, I'm not well educated in business, or, I mean, to a certain extent I understand marketing, but my take on marketing is very heart-centered. It's not the norm. I don't know I don't even know what the norm is, but I mean, yeah, what my ideas are not necessarily the regular style of marketing that people do. So,
well, it's not the Mad Men cliche where you have to go and sell.
Yeah, that's right. I think all that's changing, though. I do think it's all changing, and definitely for the better.
It's completely changed.
And I think
it's been evolving since forever. Like when I was at design college learning about advertising, they had several examples, and I've got the books from back then that made so much sense at the time, but it's all shifted now. It's completely shifted to, like, it went from building a brand to building one of the big people who know all about this stuff. Sorry, I can't think of his name. But he wrote a book called Love Marks, which was about big companies and trademarks connecting with their consumers on a personal level.
Right.
And now that's again shifted into, again, Ellie, I'm of no use to you today because I can't remember any of the names or any of the books.
I'll have to look them up for the show notes.
I do recall. I can find them for you because I do recall, because I'm a big reader, and when I get interested in something, I devour. So I do recall the first one, then the second one, then the third one, and they were all showing shifts in the way that people market and the way that people consume. So, I mean, you would have noticed that these days it's all very focused on small makers and cottage industries, and the bigger brands are suffering. The city retailers are suffering, particularly due to COVID.
That has probably forced the change to happen a bit more quickly than it might have otherwise.
Yeah, and a bit more visibly for the mainstream rather than just the creatives. So, yeah. It's something that it's on my mind a lot is business and where do I fit? What do I actually want to do? And I can't get past the fact that I actually want to make some money. I need to make a living for my own sense of success, I guess. I don't want to be a millionaire and I certainly don't want to be famous, but I wouldn't mind being able to
make a living,
pay school fees. Without my husband having to work his backside off.
Absolutely. And the other thing is too, when you do something, when you create something, it's worth something, you know, I think. Mm-hmm. When you create something and you have it there, it's worth something. It's almost like that conversation that I'm trying not to focus so much on writers, but it just pops into my head about authors and school visits. And a lot of the time schools can't afford to pay for a writer to come and visit the school or an author to come and do a school visit. But the author has spent a lot of time putting something together and it's worth paying for. So, you know, it's that gap in the middle.
I think you've hit on something interesting there. And this is something, again, this is something that is constantly on my mind, is worth. So one example I use is that I wouldn't blink at spending $50 on a book.
Yeah.
But I would really, really find it hard to spend $50 on, say, I can't think. Like, okay, so people will spend $30 on a bottle of wine or a pair of earrings, no troubles.
Mm-hmm.
But that tea towel that I created, $35 for a tea towel, I had a lot of people say to me, that is way too much for a tea towel. And I was thinking, Now, isn't that interesting? Because to me, the tea towel was a lot more effort, and it's something that, I don't know, I found that very interesting. And I guess you can't really compare the products, but $35 on a pair of earrings, people do not hesitate.
Yeah, I don't know. See, to me, I love my tea towel, and I gave one for a gift, and the person that I gave it to absolutely loves it as well. And even though I haven't framed it yet, I'm still trying to decide exactly what I'm going to do with it. I'm using it as a tablecloth at the moment, which is everyone comes in and says, "Oh, I love that." Yes, actually, it's a tea towel.
If only they knew who I was.
But it's an, well, they do now because I told them. The art, I mean, it's a piece of art, isn't it? You have to look at things in a different way. You can't just, I don't know. I don't know. It's all about commodification, isn't it, really? I mean, people commodify things according to their bias and their understanding and their filters and how they've grown up and what they're used to.
Yeah, but I think too it is about, like, why, when you say that many schools can't afford author visits, it makes me think about that a bit. Like, I reckon they could afford it if they valued it.
Well, that's, yeah, I suppose that's exactly right. And they can afford other things, but they choose to prioritise other things in favour of having an author visit. And the other thing is that a lot of the time that when there are discussions about author visits, they would like you to come, but they'd like you to do it for free.
Yeah,
and of course. That's not a probably not a thoughtful response, in that they probably, I don't know, they probably don't even think about it. Think about the work that's done to whatever the presentation is, and the work you did to write the book in the first place, and, you know, yada, 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 chicken and the egg stuff. Like you with the tea towel, all the work you did to get the production right, and apart from the actual creation of the artwork itself, all the production value that has to be put onto it as well.
The production is most of the money that goes into those tea towels is based on the production cost.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, my pricing is completely and utterly linked to the production cost. My time is essentially free. That's how my business operates at this point in time, because I don't have a big enough audience to cover my creative time that I spend. So yeah, it's interesting. I don't begrudge that, as long as I can break even and make a little bit of profit in order to do the next project. That's all I'm doing at the moment. But yeah, eventually I would like to actually make profit, like serious profit, and go, let's go on a proper holiday.
Yeah, that's right. And I would like to find the people who are like me, who like the same things as me, who would like and benefit from what I have to offer. And that is part of the challenge as well, is finding those people. And
definitely. In terms of marketing though, Ellie, when you are talking to schools about what you can offer, and when you call it an author visit, perhaps you could redefine the author visit and give them a value proposition. So that's a marketing term. So value proposition is, what are they actually going to be able to quantify getting out of your visit? So you can say, oh, I'm just going to come and read a story and the kids will love it and we can do some colouring in and some activities, but perhaps you could completely redefine that and come up with something that is easily able to go into a spreadsheet to say, we had this author come and this was the outcome.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've been looking into a lot of, I have a few ideas for a few exciting things that I'm planning to do this year myself as part of my own We're All Made of Stories creative business. And I think that as far as schools are concerned, I think that mapping it across to the curriculum, so for anyone else that's listening, if you can go to the school curriculums and look at the age groups that you're looking at, and then check out the curriculum and see what their requirements are, because it's all online. You can go and look them up. Mm-hmm. And if you can offer schools an opportunity to map something across to the curriculum so they can tick their box, mm-hmm. I think you've got a lot more opportunity to be successful in presentation or some kind of workshop or something like that.
I think the term workshop is a bit of a buzz one and something that people understand, definitely.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. So that everyone comes away with some kind of outcome, some kind of learning outcome that maps across to the school curriculum and fulfills something that they need to do in their school year. I think that's where it's at.
Cool.
Problem solved.
Next subject.
Easy.
Next subject is.
Well, I think, that's about all that was on my mind. Well, no, there's lots of other things on my mind all the time, but I think that might be all I've got time to.
Enough for today.
Today.
That was wonderful.
But the thing about this is that I would like us to get together whenever our stars align and have another chat. That'd be great.
Sounds wonderful. Once the kiddies are back at school, I am freer than I am right now.
Fabo. I've got no idea what's going on with me, but we'll work it out.
Excellent. Sounds good to me.
All righty. Well, thank you so much for chatting to me today. Okay.
All righty.
I'll talk to you next time.
Take it easy.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you have it, story lovers. Zoe and I chatting about what's on our respective minds. You may have noticed that occasionally I think it's me who sounds like they're underwater. And I'm sorry about that, but it really came down to a case of if we don't do this thing now, then we're never going to get it started. And I'm really glad we did get it started because I had fun. I'm pretty sure Zoe had fun, and I hope you did too. You might have even picked up some useful information. Who knows? I've got an absolute mountain of stuff happening this year. And if you would be interested in subscribing to my email newsletter, which will probably only badger you about once a month, maybe twice if something really exciting is happening, then by all means, head over to my ellieroyceauthor.com website and there'll be a place where you can click, and that will take you to the We Are All Made of Stories website. I am working on getting a domain organised for that, but at the moment you can access it from my ellieroyceauthor.com site. I'd really love to keep in touch with you and let you know all the interesting things that have happened over the last little while and the plans that has put into effect for this year. Pretty exciting stuff. You can also find me on Instagram at Ellie Royce Kidlit Author and at Made of Stories with Ellie Royce, which is specifically for the podcast. So if you have any comments about the podcast or any requests or anything you'd like to say, please by all means visit that Made of Stories with Ellie Royce on Instagram and leave a comment there. I would love to hear from you. You can find Zoe at hellozoecollins.com.au and on Instagram and Facebook at Hoodlum Friends. If you've enjoyed the podcast and you'd like to leave a rating, that's also really helpful, or a comment as well on the podcast. You can leave to let me know what you thought and whether you would like something specific in the future. Well, that's it from me for now, story lovers. Thanks for being here and talk to you next time. And don't forget, we really are all made of stories. See ya!